Praise God. This is John. We gotta get going. I love it. Come on, we're not just a church that's like, okay, 30 minutes, we're done. Not that that's bad for whoever does that, but thanks for the laugh. No, no, because I'm about to teach on honor, so I don't really want to smack somebody in the group, right? It's not really honoring. Brent sends his love all the way from Mexico. If you haven't seen it on Facebook, he's down there with Fresh Fire Team with Todd, and it's been amazing. There's been healings, miracles. I just want to thank God for restoration. Come on. Come on. You know what? In this house, we believe in restoration. Todd Bentley is a man of God. He may have screwed up in his life, but he's fully repented, has moved on. And in saying that, he will be here on June 10th, I think it is, Sunday morning. It's Elijah, his son, is graduating. Come on. So he's in town. He wants to come see the family here too, so it's exciting. Again, Brent just sends his love and is excited. He's been praying for us this morning. You know Brent, Mr. Prophetic. He literally texted me my message pretty much this morning when I was going back and forth. No, for real. He was quite excited about it. It was pretty sweet. So today, if I was going to title my message, I would call it "The Culture of Honor with Relationship Opens the Door to the Outpouring." Isn't that good? That just came out when I was texting Brent this morning, so I never have a title, so I'm pretty proud of that. But it's Pentecost Sunday. So of course we're gonna definitely get into the Holy Spirit, but I'm gonna hit it a different direction. But Brent set it up really nice last week, right? You guys remember Brent's message? See, I know this. So I'm gonna just quickly. Brent brought the understanding again that Jesus had to do what he did here, so that he could go to his rightful place, so that we could have the outpouring. Right? That's the gist of it. That's pretty much the gist of it, so we need to know that, right? So, God is so good. Whew! So I'm just getting relaxed here, because today's already been good, and I'm just getting rocked. God is good. So, who's been around here for a while? Who's heard me ever preach on the culture of honor before? See, not enough people. That's why we're going after this again. No, we believe in the kingdom culture. Brent constantly is preaching here the kingdom culture. That's technically what it's, kingdom theology, kingdom culture. And that is that we live like Jesus lived. He was the best example. And so he actually teaches. People are like, we need more understanding on the culture of like how other places like Bethel work and all that stuff. That's what it is. It's not that Bethel made up a new culture. All they did was bring language to what the kingdom looks like. Right? That's good, eh? And that's what we are. We're called to bring heaven on earth. Jesus taught us as it is in heaven, not as it is on the earth, to make earth look like, make heaven look like earth. It's the other way around. So let's jump in. I'm going to read a quote from Bill Johnson right here. People are always asking Bill how to have the culture of honor. And his response is this: the need is real and the desire is genuine that people want culture. But the culture is never built around what I need. It is built around what can I give. And if I don't learn to give it to those who deserve it the least, I will continue to live in an environment without honor. Let me read that again, because then we can leave. But the culture is never built around what I need. It is built around what I can give, and if I don't learn to give it those who deserve it the least, I will continue to live in an environment without honor. The word honor means, this is the dictionary, here's a bunch of this: a source of credit, a high respect as for worth, such a respect manifested, high public esteem. To hold honor in high respect, to revere, to treat with honor. It's to call people, the kingdom ways, to see people the way Jesus sees them. Right? And it doesn't mean that they're doing everything right. See, the cool thing about honor is that you honor first. Everyone thinks you start treating people well because they honored you. It doesn't work like that. You honor others and you will be honored. It comes back. And it takes time. See, everyone, I know, I love Let me clarify something. We're not trying to be a Bethel church. We're trying to be a kingdom church. But we refer a lot to Bethel, not because we want to be like them. It's because we love what's on them. The thing is you don't become a culture of honor. You don't become a church of kingdom culture in a moment. It takes work. It takes a lifestyle. It takes actually people failing and in restoration, bringing them back. It takes a community. I love it. I've heard it said before for them. A lot of what Bethel we want out of Bethel and the kingdom culture was built and recognized out of language of watching Chris do crazy things and Bill loving him through it. This is crazy. I'm teaching on honor. If you ever read Danny Silk's Culture of Honor book, what happened up here with Paul and Chris, it's kind of crazy. I didn't realize. I just went to share it. I'm like, the first chapter is sharing a story just like this. And I want to say as a church, that's a testimony that we're going somewhere that they just said that we felt love through the whole thing. That we love. We don't condone things out of order, but we still love. Because the number one thing in honor and in a culture of the kingdom is that my love between myself and Sharon or Justin and myself is more important than me being right. So I've got to know Christian, but I've known Paul. So when I asked Paul if I can use his name, so he said it's all good. But when he let me know things went, I said, God, give me your eyes. You know, they're having a beautiful child. A beautiful child that is born with no shame. After when we married them last Sunday, the Lord spoke to me clearly. I said, Paul, your child's not going to be born out of wedlock. But that's the word of the Lord. You guys, we have to understand that we have a God that rewrites history. I brought up, it's the number one example is Hebrews 12, when it talks about the those of faith, and it talks about Sarah, that she was a woman of faith. She's the one that laughed. It's documented. I love bringing that up because it's such a dramatic change. Well, they must have messed up the Bible. No, it's not messed up. That's how God sees it. He rewrites history. So your past, don't let your past dictate your future at all. The principle of honor states in that accurately acknowledging people, who people are, will position us to give them what they deserve and receive the gift of whom they are in our lives. We have to accurately realize who is before us. And we can't, that doesn't mean we accurately just honor those who have a name. It doesn't work like that in the kingdom. Honor goes to everybody. And actually, when you start getting a true understanding of honor, you constantly treat people no matter if they're on the street or if they're the president of the United States. There's no difference because you see them how God sees them. They're both children of God. Come on, when we get to heaven, it's not going to work. You're going to realize that he sees us all the same. He loves us. In this house, it's so cool, but in honor, I'm going to break this down more. It doesn't even mean that always the number one most gifted person is the lead. In honor, you honor the position that God places. If you stick around in this place, you'll realize that leadership isn't just, but we don't just look around for the most gifted people. We say, God, who do you want to position? Because it's amazing because we sometimes see people differently, but when you actually ask God what they see like, and you position them correctly in their God-given place, they come alive. And they operate under the grace given to them. And it's so key in honor, and I'm trying to get a lot in, but in the culture of honor, you have to, and people don't like this word, but submit to the vision. It only works that way. I'll tell you, in this house, the vision of a house is, of course, always going to line up with the kingdom of God. That's the number one, right? But we've got the vision that God's given to Brent and Sharon, okay? And again, it's all quiet in here because, we're talking about people, but it's all about me and God. No, actually, it's about us and God. And so what happens is, so I'll tell you my life, I come around to, And God says, submit to the vision. Because I'm fortunate. Some reason God put an understanding in my heart without anyone even teaching me is that the fastest way for me to accelerate in who God in my life with God is to serve. So I've come and I said, I'm submitting to your vision. Well, what happens? People go, oh, Kevin, you're submitting. You're under control. No, actually, what happens when we submit to vision, if it's what God is telling us to do, you actually get the grace upon your life, and their vision empowers your vision. But as soon as we have to realize, as soon as we step out of the vision or honoring the vision that has been given by God's authority over us, we are now causing division. And you're going to wonder why grace is leaving you. It's the same place. It goes on every level of the church specifically. I'm talking to the church today because we're the body here. But if you're leading something and you're not, and if somebody's over you and you're not following the vision that is set in their hearts, it's not about that your vision. Oh, God spoke to me and I think I know a better way. Well, we are a house of thinking. We actually believe in having a thought pattern, but you bring that and submit that. And get this, even if they don't run with it, even though it may be God, you're like, it's God, you still submit to the vision. You have to, because as soon as you don't, you've lost the grace. I've watched it. You have to stay in an attitude of saying, God, and this is the key, where have you brought me? Am I supposed to be part of this family? It's just like, the kingdom of God is structured just like the family. What happens in your home when in your family, especially when you're like a teenager, when you start going against your parents? Guess what? Now that you're getting old, those who are getting older, you realize that some of those rules and some of those things they told us to do were for the right reasons. They actually cared, which is what I'm going to get into because it is about family. I'm going to go through a little bit of teaching here before I start really preaching because we have to get some, I feel like we need some understanding of just some keys of just the culture we're talking about here. And the culture of honor is just one of the core values. Just one of them. We have a lot to go through. I'm not going to go through all the core values today. But you know what core values are? Does everyone understand when I say core values? Those are the lenses you look through. So when you came here, and if you grew up like I did, I'm not putting it back down, but come under a very, I don't know what you want to call it, structured different system, or I'm trying not to say it in a negative way, but don't understand the kingdom culture where, I bring this up because this is one of my pet peeves I run into all the time with Christians. In the sovereignty world of God, which he's fully sovereign, don't want anyone to leave right now, but again, what did he do in his sovereignty? He gave us free will. I keep on seeing people write this or say stuff, especially they're like, God can make me do whatever he wants, so I'm going to go do it because he's making me do it. Well, read your Bible. Is that really true? Did he make Jonah go to Nineveh? Study. He didn't make him. He persuaded him. But the truth was, he didn't have to jump off that boat. Because there was something in Jonah's heart that says, I know I'm called. When you know you're called, you can't run from the calling. But he won't force you to go. He's not going to tell you. He doesn't treat us like a video game. Well, pick up Justin and throw him over here and move him over here. He gave us free will. We have to understand that in a culture of honor. Because that's why it's so important that we have family. We have to have people around us that actually know us. Oh, man. Honor recognizes and affirms that every person is valuable and powerful. We are made in God's image, right? He died to restore our relationship with him. And then he rose again. You guys, the whole Bible is written about him wanting to restore our relationship. Constantly, it's all he cares about. That's why we were made. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish in the sea and the birds of the air and over the cattle, over the earth, and every creeping living thing that creeps on the earth. But he made us in his image. That we're constantly trying, he's constantly trying to bring us back to our identity. That's huge, you guys. Honor recognizes and celebrates the best in people in spite of our differences. Wow. We have to love each other even though we don't agree with each other. But we get to respond by knowing that each of us are made in his image, so I want to connect at a heart level. I'm not trying to be the one that's going to overpower you. You actually get to listen. Where do we find that in Scripture? Philippians 2:3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. You guys are like, this is supposed to be Pentecost Sunday. We'll get there. No, because a culture will actually make us a habitation. But we have to realize that we actually need each other. That you don't come just on Sunday morning to get your touch. I don't want just my touch. I want us to actually, this place to explode because of what he's doing. Actually, I'm spending time with the Lord. I spent time with the Lord this week preparing this message, not for myself. It's for, I want to see his presence come and transform lives. Dude, I don't study a message to just preach to you guys. I study it for myself. Oh, I'm going to jump around for a second just because I do that. Even though Brent gave me a word this morning, he said, stay on topic. so true. But this is topic. I'm telling you, it's topic. You guys all know Matthew 28, right? Oh, I'm really jumping. The Great Commission. I want to jump ahead just so you know where I'm going, just because I only have so much time. So he's giving at the end here, the Great Commission, chapter, verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the ends of the earth. We love that verse. Especially the charismatic movement, because we're about activation, move, right? We love that. I love that verse. The problem is that, not the problem, well, kind of is, this is a new revelation I got this week through Eric Johnson. So I won't say I got it, he got it. Jesus spent 3 years with those guys. Yes, it's a word we can use out of Scripture for all of us, but it was actually a word given to the disciples out of relationship. Have you ever thought of that? We have to read the Bible in its context. He didn't just tell some random, he didn't walk up to somebody he never met before and said, hey, go ye therefore. No, he actually got to know their hearts. He got to know that they weren't going to go make a mess. And even if they did, he knew their hearts that they were going to make it right. Because he walked with them. We need community. Oh, yeah. Honor is demonstrated through consistent respect in word and actions towards those who lead, follow, love, and disagree with. While honor avoids controlling others, it lovingly confronts limits and disciplines when necessary. Back to being a child. When you know each other, we can actually be real with each other. We can be real with each other. We actually know who we are. So we actually care. Don't you want people to actually care about you and know who we are? We are into a culture of honor, a culture community. Why? We don't just do life groups in this church because it sounds like a good idea. And it's not just a bunch of groups trying to control people. It's actually about bringing people together so they can actually get to know each other. We have to. Our culture says, run on your own. Do your own thing. You don't have time to connect with each other's hearts. That's what Willis and Linda, you hang out with them for any minute, any time. Their heart is community. It's sacrifice. It's actually choosing to say, I honor you enough that I want to get to know you. I don't want to just be see you on Sunday morning. I want to get to know you. I want to see your walk get further. I want to see you fly. I want people around that actually care about me enough to let me know when I'm being deceived. See, I'm really jumping ahead. No. Here, this is a I need feedback, guys. I feel like you guys are like, man, you guys are mean. I'm in love. This is good. We're gonna get all in the glory. Get the Holy Spirit. He's here, but he likes this stuff. And so, no, but hear me. If you're being deceived, and you have no one in your life that you trust more than yourself, who's gonna tell you're being deceived? We have a culture right now. And I'm not speaking to anybody in particularly. This is just over time. And so if you feel like I'm speaking directly to you, then that's the Holy Spirit. Let it be conviction. But we have a culture that is like Facebook. We have all these people that supposedly know us, which is great. It enlarges our sphere. There's great parts of it. But it was interesting. A couple weeks ago, I was at the soccer game for Elisha. And an old friend I hadn't seen for about 13 years. I'll be honest, you might watch this because it's on Facebook. I feel bad. I didn't tell you then. I didn't remember your name, but I know your name now. He's an awesome guy, totally awesome. But he knew everything about my life. And it was kind of weird for me. And I don't put a lot of personal stuff on. Like, it's just what we do sometimes with our family and stuff. But he knew about my grandma just passed. He knew this happened. He knew that, which is wonderful. And when he's talking to him, I'm like, wow. Because I have no idea what he's doing. But I walked away going, wow, this feels so fake. See, and this is my little rant right now, is then there's people with good intentions that are constantly speaking into people's lives on Facebook, but they have no idea how that person's living. And it's great, and hear me, it's great intentions. Great, but they have no idea what's going on in that person's life, in their church. They don't know what's going on at their home. And it brings confusion. Because the people around them are saying one thing, and then the world is saying, man, that's just holding you back. Or do that, and who's telling you those lies? Well, they're not lies. They're people that actually care and are actually on their knees crying out for you. It causes so much confusion. And again, I'm not blasting Facebook. It's not evil. It's teaching us that we don't not to live with real relationships. And then what happens is we go, oh, I don't need to be a part of a life group because I already have a relationship. Well, what does relationship look like to you? So that's a big one. I'm not bashing people that are not part of life groups. Just hold it. That sounds like I am. But I'm promoting life groups. There you go. Right, Willis and Linda? And it doesn't need to be a life group. Just make sure you have people around you that actually know you. And position people. I have numerous people that literally I have told this. I'm a little extreme, get to know me, I am. And I said, if I start going into anything weird, thinking about running off or doing something stupid, then just take me, bring me to Cultus Lake, and throw me in the water in the middle of it until I wake up. It's smart enough. Because I know my personality, because that means I'm being deceived. No, I don't even say it jokingly because it's really, I know my personality that if I've gone that far, that means that I'm not listening to anybody. I've told Brent, just right away, just punch me in the face and we'll move on. No, because I love that. I love feedback. People think I'm crazy. I just bought a truck and I didn't even drive it. I let Brent drive it. Well, Brent, what, so you control over you, Kevin? No, because he owns the same year of a truck and he knows what it's supposed to sound like and feel like and drive. I've never driven one like that before. Do you get that point? I trusted him because I actually didn't have experience. Whoa, that's crazy, Kevin, but couldn't he just speak to you? Yeah, he could have. And he did, but I got confirmation from the person that I trusted that actually knew what had been there before. That maybe had gone there before. Had done that before. We need feedback. Oh, we have to, you guys. It's just, we don't. When I've been talked about before about having young people and the older generation connecting, I don't want them just to connect because it's just a fun idea. I want it because these young people need to learn. We don't just put the older generation aside. You have so much to give. You've gone through so much. And don't disqualify yourself if you've been divorced or screwed up. Use that to teach them. I talked to Paul. I love his testimony. He says, I'm going to tell people that it's not just signing a contract when you get married. It makes a difference. Because the devil tried to lie to them before, and when he did it, they can tell you that's a testimony. And you know what? They're going to use that to glorify God. You guys, that's incredible. Whoa, you're going to use something they did that you did wrong and use it for good. Yes, that's God. He turns things into good. They have a testimony. They're not glorifying what they did wrong. They're glorifying what God did in return. Come on, he rewrote history. I love these guys. I actually believe they're going to share with a lot of people. Because they can share with conviction because they've been there. Oh, man. That's a plug for marriage right there. Come on. Oh. Whew. I could go on a lot about the feedback part. You know what? We might skip there. 1 second. I got lots of times I can preach to you guys. So we can get all over the place, right? No, because this is a now word. I really feel this. I'm just jumping. I have 17 pages that I'm not going to read. It's the truth, but it's just me. First of all, it is totally in the kingdom culture, we can fully love somebody even when they're doing something wrong. We have to. It's to keep our love on. I love that. That's Danny Silk's line. You keep your love on. You can be fully in disagreement because in a culture of the apostolic, in the culture of kingdom, it's based around the structure of family. Which means that I care about you, and I'm going to fight for you, even if you're wrong. Whoever's had kids here, if my little kid makes a mistake, I still love him. I'm not like, oh, man, get rid of that kid. No, for real. But that's what we do in the church. Oh, we don't agree with them. They're done. That's... Hear me? This is a little teaching. There's a difference between a denomination and denominationalism. Denominationalism is the idea that we have to agree. So what has happened in denominationalism is that as soon as you feel like you disagree, you have to leave. So if you come, so if Justin comes to me and shares something that he feels he's supposed to do and I don't agree with him, then in that setting, he'd be like, well, we can't connect anymore. But in the kingdom culture apostolic understanding of family, he can fully disagree. We can have fully different understanding. We could even have different end time theology. Oh, isn't that funny? Why not? It's not a set in stone what it looks like, so we can disagree and we can actually discuss, but I can always keep love first. And in love, he doesn't have to try to convince me, I don't have to try to convince him. Because that's not how it works. All revelation must work in relationship. You guys, it was all out of relationship. The kingdom is relationship. If you're getting revelation from God, straight from God, it has to be God. Well, actually, it's straight from God through you. And yes, I'm a new creation, but it's still through me. And I'm bringing it. It's like, okay, we're a charismatic group, so we love encounters, we love stuff. We love supernatural encounters. This is something I've learned over the past, because it can throw you off, because you can read one book by this guy, or watch this thing, watch that, and they had an encounter, and in heaven, or this experience was like that, and this one was different, the throne room looked different over here, and this looked different. You guys, it's not these people are off, it is coming through you. You're a vessel. It's coming from the eternal realm. This is a little side note. When we have encounters, you're actually touching into the eternal realm. Coming through this mind isn't going to work in heaven because it has a time frame. So even just between those two interactions, you're actually going to have something happen because when you bring it back here, you're trying to explain something that doesn't work in our system. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes, heaven comes and it works. I don't want to say heaven doesn't work in a system, but you're bringing a fully freed culture of the kingdom and bringing it into this, and that's why we have controversy. It is. When heaven comes, things happen and it gets messy. If the Holy Spirit dropped in this room right now, it will get messy. No, for real. Somebody over here starts flopping, this person over here starts yelling, this person over here just stands still, and then we have to have the group that says, that one's God, that was not because that doesn't look the way it used to look for me, and then that one. No, it's the truth. We judge so quickly. On that note, Acts 2. I love this. I'm not going to stay on here long, but I just want to make a point with that point. So you've got the day of Pentecost, which I'm going to go back afterwards, but the Pentecost comes. The disciples are out there. It's crazy. And you have Peter read this amazing chapter out of Joel chapter 2. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought like this before. So Joel chapter 2, what is, I'm not going to even read it all. It says, and it shall come to pass in the last days that God will pour out his spirit on all flesh, which is amazing stuff. What were they just accusing of them? Of looking like they're drunk and they're speaking different languages. Was that in Acts chapter 2? I mean, yeah, is that in the book of Joel, I mean? Was that what was prophesied? It wasn't. It doesn't ever say anything about being drunk, and it doesn't ever say anything about speaking in tongues. But it does say we're going to do stuff that only God can do. So I say that because don't be so quick to judge what's God and what's not. Because it always looks different. It's crazy. They're getting, you guys, they're being accused of being, think about this, being drunk and speaking in languages they wouldn't know, which is totally God. They know it's God. But then he goes, this is what is spoken by the prophet Joel. And he's explaining what's happening there. But it doesn't even say that's what they're doing in chapter Joel. We have to be careful what we judge as God and what's not. Now, we have to have discernment. I'm not throwing out discernment, but we have to. And that's why relationship's so important, because you have people around. Was one of the main ministers out of the Jesus movement in California. I forget his name right now. The Spirit of the Lord starts dropping. People are flopping. People are doing stuff. He didn't know if it was God because he never experienced it. But then what happened? He got a hold of people he trusted. And because he didn't know, should he reject it? A bunch of the church wanted it rejected. We're talking about the start of the Jesus movement. Lonnie Frisbee was the one that was ministering, but this was the senior pastor. And so he actually got a hold and said, hey, this crazy stuff's happening. What do we do with it? Yep, don't worry. It's been happening here too. They proved it, went through scripture. God's good with it. And by the way, he said, get a hold of revival. Just go and study revival. It's all through revival. It's from the very beginnings, from the books, days of Acts, all the way through history of revival, that stuff happening. So what did we do? We had a relationship. They connected. They actually got truth. We need that. Relationships take time. You can't just go speaking into people's lives if you don't know them. No, I'll tell you a pet peeve, not just for me, but for a lot of ministers. People that have no idea who you are, have no idea your heart, they come and they try to tell you or correct you. And in grace, you're like, okay. But really you're going, I don't know who you are. Like, you have no idea. Have you ever prayed with me? Have you ever spent time with me? Have you ever... Yeah, I'm zealous. I'll probably say a lot of dumb things. But go talk to somebody that knows me. Find out my heart. Please do that before you come and tell me that I'm evil. No, it's true. And that's why you have the people. Because, hey, we're the crazy church, right? No, we are. We're known a little bit as the charismatic church. The church that when somebody's sick, they come. Sorry. I had to, but it's so true. But you need people that actually know who you are. I've had times in my life, people are mean. They come up and they tell you certain things that they think about you. Dude, I don't know, who can one up on this one? I've been told that I was Satan. I wanted to look at them and say, wow, then you must have a good life because I'm not bothering you. I don't know. No, sorry. But I'll be honest, it hurt. You're like, huh? They're like, and I had to go to see people that I knew. I'm like, am I off? And they're like, Kevin, it's okay. And they walk through that, right? But that when you're down, you need somebody that cares for you. And actually says, I know you enough. That actually says, hey, oh, here's one for the young generation. They start dating somebody and everyone else knows. They care for them. Not trying to control, but care. They see it's off. What do you do with that? But a true culture of family, you tell them. Because you care enough that they're not going to mess their heart. You care about their... Oh, sorry. You care about their heart enough to tell them. I love these are point. You need to protect relationship enough that you care about relationship more than even duty. We're always like, well, it's too bad I hurt Sharon because I'm called to do this and she just was in the way. Doesn't work in the kingdom. That's a fast way to lose favor. Because you just pushed away one of the daughters of the king. Relationship is the key. You guys didn't give me much time. We're gonna go a little longer today. Won't keep you too long. Feedback is so important. I've jumped into feedback because I still had like pages and pages of actually understanding honor, because I feel like we teach on honor and never get to this part. That we actually don't just live in a realm of like, oh, we just agree with each other because the Spirit's moving. No, there's actually conflict between each other that we have to work out and constantly make sure that we're in a good place. Not all agree with everybody, but if we're going to grow and we're going to want an outpouring, we want unity. But unity is not, if you study unity, unity isn't everyone believing the same thing. Unity is not believing everything of the same. Unity is believing certain core values, right? We're here because we believe Jesus Christ died, rose again, and he wants to empower us, and he wants to use us, and we're all world changers. That's what I believe, at least. We, in relationship and feedback, you don't need to defend yourself. That's a hard one. When is the last time somebody brought correction to you and you didn't want to give them feedback back? Who do you think you are? Don't you realize you don't understand? Because in true relationship, you actually can open up and be vulnerable. I love this line they use at Bethel. In true relationship and a culture of true honor with true feedback, you don't need to use the God card. You get to throw it away. Everyone's staring in silence. I will explain the God card. The God card is this. I just want to have your advice, church, and I just feel like we're supposed to get rid of everything and move to Yellowknife and hang out in the snow. And we're all like, huh? Maybe we should pray about this. We don't really feel good about this. Nope, God told me that I'm supposed to do this. Oh, so you're not actually asking for advice or us to pray. God told you. It makes no room for anyone to speak into your life because God told you. Who am I going to say, well, I'm bigger than... No, I'm not bigger than God. But when you have people that truly are around you that care, you don't need the God card because you don't need to first defend yourself. You actually are opened to hear and back to maybe you've actually had more experience. Maybe you've actually tried this before. I love it. Brent's been sharing about how the fact that it took him 7 years, right, to leave. His leader, his pastor told him, Brent, it's going to be 7 years before you go on your missions trip. If you know, Brent's a determined person, so the fact that it took 7 years when he didn't want to believe it was seven means it was a God word. He tried. He admits that he tried. But now what we get to do is we get to learn from his experience of fighting it and get to say, okay, I don't need to fight that. I get to learn. I love learning from people because for me now, it's like if somebody gives me a word like that, I'm like, oh yeah, Brent tried to fight that. It didn't work for him, so why bother fighting it? No, that's the whole point, so that you don't have to live through junk that I had to live through. We want to see people fly. Oh my goodness. You guys haven't got the good stuff. It is. Well, it's Pentecost, so we got 5 minutes for you, Lord. No, just kidding. Sorry. That just came out. It was supposed to be my head. oh, Lord Jesus. No, it's so important because we need the Holy Spirit to show up. We do. All this stuff, it helps when we have the Holy Spirit. Let's look at chapter... I'm going to find this here. So let's John 20. Let's just jump real fast here. We have to because it's the day of Pentecost. We can't leave this. We just can't. John chapter 20, 22. So I'm going to be really quick. So this is before, this is Jesus, and he says, Chapter 2, and he said to his disciples, he said, he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. So were the disciples, just before Jesus left, were they, when he breathed the Spirit, did they get filled with the Spirit? Did they not? Okay. Now, jump to Luke 24:49. I could just read here. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with the power from on high. Now, this jumps to what Brent was talking about. Yes, they got filled with the Spirit, but they didn't yet have the endued with power. Who wants to get endued with power? That's because Jesus is sitting on the throne. He paid for a price. But now, you jump to Acts. Oh, Lord. This is huge, guys. Back to relationship. What were they doing? They came together. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were with one accord. What does that mean? They came together. The Strong says being unanimous, having mutual consent, being in agreement, having group of unity, having one mind and purpose. One mind and one purpose. They're doing what God said to do. Now, this is interesting. If you think about, because who does? We all want the anointing to come. And you guys, I love, one of my favorite messages stuff is preaching on the secret place. I love just me and the Lord. But there's two worlds, two sides of our relationship. It's me and the Lord. And then this thing that's really talked about in Scripture too, it's me and the family. Isn't it interesting that Jesus didn't tell them to go to their secret places to wait for the Holy Spirit to come? That's huge, because I know we're not supposed to make things out of the Bible just formula, but there is keys. And the key is he said, come together and wait. They didn't even know what they're waiting for. I like what somebody said. They said it had to have been after the resurrection, and something had to have changed in the world because of what Jesus did on the cross, because Peter hung out with 120 people in the upper room. Before the resurrection, we don't think Peter would have lasted with 120 people. You get that? These guys are changed and they're waiting. I'm going to go through this fast, but then you jump over. To chapter 2. Oh, it stays still 2, but verse 40. And many others' words to be, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from the perverse generation. And those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added, so we're seeing credible fruit. And as they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which is just the teaching, and fellowship in the breaking of bread. That word fellowship means sharing, unity, close association, partnership, knowing each other. The word is actually koinonia, and it's actually meaning a unity brought about by the Holy Spirit. See, we have an idea of what the baptism of the Holy Spirit looks like, but I'm finding that when I'm studying, is that a lot of being filled with the Holy Spirit is actually bringing people together. That's pretty crazy. It's not about just the one man finding the Holy Ghost and going for it. It's about coming. And due to time, I'll finish off another day maybe, but they constantly are coming together. They are constantly coming together in a meeting to the point where they actually are sharing everything. Whoa, he said that. They shouldn't talk about that in church, because in North America, we hate talking about that. You actually share. Now, I don't understand what it's supposed to look like in this culture, but I read the scripture, and at the end of the day, what's ours anyways? When you really become on fire for Jesus, you just want everything for him anyways. And God will use your resources to do whatever he wants when you allow him to, right? And again, it comes in true relationship. True relationship doesn't use people. When you're in true relationship in the context of family, see, I think the difference is when we read this, we right away, at least I'll tell you how I read that. I'm like, well, I don't know about that. I don't know if I want to share everything with people because I'm thinking about all the lazy people. I'm thinking about the people that don't want to do nothing. Sorry, that's just how I think. But the truth is, in family, you don't have the lazy people. Because if they're lazy, you teach them. Because true family would be like, hey, brother, hey, sister, that's not how we live. I'll help you, but let's help you grow. Let's help you become functional. Right? If my child is starting to do things that is not functional, I'm going to try to lead them the right way. Oh. Oh, man. Oh, man. There's so much. Again, it takes time. All this takes time. Another day I'll preach more on honor because there's so much in that culture. Because when you learn to see people with God's eyes, that's the easiest way to do it. If we can learn to actually care and actually think about others. Because when you actually care for each other, that's why I go to my time with the Lord and I press in for young adults in this place. And the youth, because I'm like, I want them to experience the power of God. Where's the power of God? Come on, I come from a season back where we saw so much power. I'm going, God, where is it for these ones? The question I got during the worship. The question is this. We all know the story of Lazarus, right? You guys know the story of Lazarus? Jesus' friend Lazarus. They give word that he is passing away. He's sick. And Jesus waits. He waits, you guys. This is his friend. And he knows. He specifically says to the disciples, he's going to die. It's okay. The question is, why did he do that? I don't 100% know, but when he goes to see Mary and Martha, he asks questions. He's there going, who do you say I am still? He asked Martha that right away. Who do you say I am? And she said, I've believed. I believe who you are. Well, then what do you expect to happen? Well, I know on the day of resurrection he's going to... No, what do you expect to happen? You've seen what I've done. You're accountable. See, many of us in this room are accountable because we've seen God move. The problem is that we so often we say, God, it's time, let it come. And he's like, I want to see their response. Let's wait. I want to see their response. What are they going to do? And during worship, I actually saw a picture. I'm actually telling John, it just came. And I saw Jesus come to see Lazarus, to raise him, and he came up. And this is not from scripture, this is what I saw so often happens. The real story, he comes, he raises Lazarus because they have expectation, they're believing. They come into unity with his faith, and they do this. How often does Jesus show up, and the tomb and the funeral is done, and everyone's gone? Oh. Sorry, I love bringing that stuff because it drives me. Because I'm like, God, I want to be waiting for you to expect. Even if I think my dream's dead, I'm going to wait on you. Because you told me, and I can bring that to the bank. You told me, God, that my children will be saved. You told me, God. I love it. Will says, you've never failed me before, God. So I'm going to stay here until you show up because I know you cared for the situation. And I say this on the day of Pentecost is this. He will show up because he's promised us the Holy Spirit. He promised that you could be endued with power. That's a promise to each one of us. So today, do we expect him again? Now, I love to promise you right now that we're going to get you to stand and all of a sudden the glory will come and boomba, boomba, shumba. No, I was telling Justin, I'm believing for the day that we're going to get into, it's going to be so much boomba, we don't need the shumba. That was good, eh? Yeah. No, it's good because you do, because we're going to constantly be coming expecting. And there's something about creating a culture when people care about each other, where we're actually caring and wanting to get together and get united. There is something happening with these youth and young adults. You know what? I showed up, we met with them on Friday night. My daughter had to leave because we have kids at home, and it was 10-something, and they hadn't even yet got into their worship stuff. Why? Because community had been formed, and they were having fun with each other. They weren't being religious. They were there to 1:30 praising Jesus. I don't know how they could pull that off, but hey, I got older. No, but there's something in the heart of God when you start pressing in and you actually start building community and people and true relationship, because you'll fight for people that you truly care for. You will lay down. Oh, but the Bible's so hard. It says to share things. When you really care for somebody, that doesn't matter anymore. You will fight their battle. When you're in true community, this is such a something I feel from the Lord, is when we truly care for somebody and somebody in our community is hurting and they're going, and it's hard. Let's just be honest. When somebody gets cancer, it is hard to stay in faith for themselves. That's when we're supposed to rise up. We're the family. Where is the community that says, I will contend for you? I will contend for you. We get excited, and I love the testimony what Paul and Christiane just shared. But Paul said it, though. He kind of said it, but the real truth is there was a lot of people praying. That child is born, going to be born in prayer. That child is going to be born in a revival culture because in their family, it is revival culture. I'll brag on some. They probably don't want me to know. There's three ladies sitting beside Christiane there. These guys pray like crazy. You don't want to mess them up. No. Like, seriously, they will go to the bank, and they will constantly bring their check to Jesus and say, yeah, you signed it. You signed it. So you guys want to stand up? Oh, Jesus. Can we put some music or something up? Some worship? Yeah, bring your band up. You're free to go unless you want to touch. No, just kidding. Just kidding. We're having fun. This is family, right? I get excited because God's exciting. When you hang out with Jesus, he's exciting. And we will pray right now for the Holy Spirit to come. And some people will feel some things, and others are going to fight because they're going to be like, well, I don't want to go on emotions, Kevin. I love this. I heard this today. Hey, God's emotional. He's made you emotional. He gave you emotions. He wants you to feel and tangibly know his presence. Does it make anyone in this room less good or a child of God if you don't feel anything today? No. It looks different. Well, Kevin, if you don't speak in tongues, have you even really filled the Spirit? Who says that? It's not even true. I want to speak in tongues, and I do speak in tongues, but that's just a gift. If you want that today, let's pray for you. My kids are praying for me every morning. I come out from the gym and they're like, and it's hilarious. They go, shakalakalaka. They do, seriously. They're like, shakalakalaka, shakalakalaka. I'm like, praise God. Well, Kevin, is that really tongues? I don't care. That in their heart, they're wanting to do that because they know that they love Jesus and they watch mommy and daddy do it. So let's watch what Jesus does and look like what he does. And you know what? God wants us to be endued with power because he wants to demonstrate his love. See, this part's the message I didn't get to. I love bringing the... When John the Baptist was in prison and he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, are you really the Messiah? What did he say? He told them a bunch of stuff that he's demonstrating. My question today is, what are people saying about you? Oh, yes, because we are a church that believes that it's not about the person up here. It's about each one of us moving in power. Because when we realize that, this place will explode. When we realize that each one of you have the authority of heaven, that he placed a seal upon you. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he has already marked you. Lord, we want to be known by you and that the world would know us because of the fruit of our lives. You guys have something to say? So today, Lord God, in man's time, calendar marks the day of Pentecost. Lord, I pray for an outpouring. Lord, that's our heart. And it's not out of works, Lord. We just say, Lord, we ask for the gift that was paid for. So Holy Spirit, we just invite you now. Come on, I just feel people. Don't try to work it up, just be it. Just be today. For those who have encountered things in the past, say, Lord, I want it again. I want more. I want what I have, but more. So Holy Spirit, move. Lord, we just give you permission. Touch our lives. Lord, set us ablaze that we just want to gather together and be with you. And as we spend time with you, that's when he sends us out. That's the Great Commission. Come on, when you get endued with power, and you spend time with your brothers and sisters in love and going after the presence of God,
one of the biggest fruits of if you've really spent time with Jesus is when he starts talking about the commission. Because he loves to expand his family. Come on. Lord, we just invite you now. And if you need a healing this morning, if you need a breakthrough, grab it even in this moment. Break off the lie that says, oh, no, right now we're recognizing Jesus. Yes, we're recognizing Jesus, what he did for us. We have to break that mindset. Come on. He loves to touch his children. So, Daddy, come. Release the fun. Release the refreshing. I saw during worship just angels in the back, which may sound weird, but they were carrying, had huge baskets of water balloons. And I said, Lord, what's that? He says, refreshing. I want to bring refreshing.